A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 27 of our 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers. Our text for reflection is John 12, 20-26. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Dietrich Bonhoeffer made a very sobering remark about the death of Jesus Christ. Let me begin with that remark as I speak about the prediction of Christ's death under the theme, "Dying to Live." This is what Bonhoeffer wrote. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. "In almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor," continued Bonhoeffer, "I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God." Dear friends, Jesus surrendered his life and died like that in order to give us life. In our text, some Greeks approached Philip and asked to see Jesus. It was an intriguing request because the Greeks were complete foreigners to the mission and ministry of Christ. Who would have thought that foreigners from a distant land would come forward in Jerusalem and demand to see the Lord? But who these Greeks were, why the desire to see Jesus, what their inward motives were, we cannot tell. But maybe they had understood that Jesus was the promised King of the Jews and the Messiah, whom all the Eastern world was expecting, and they wanted to worship him and to glorify him. That probably explains why when Jesus was told that they wanted to see him, he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." What Jesus meant was that death is the way to spiritual life and glory. He wanted to teach these wandering Greeks the true nature of the Messiah's kingdom, that he came to carry a cross and not to wear a crown, that he came to die a shameful death and not to live a life of honor, ease, and magnificence, and that the kingdom he came to set up was to begin with a crucifixion and not with a coronation, and that his death was to be the source of spiritual life to this sinful world. And then Jesus went on to teach the consequences of the choices we make as we follow him. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. In other words, anyone who wants to be saved must be ready to give up life itself in order to obtain salvation. We must give up our love for the world with its riches, honors, pleasures, and rewards, with the conviction that we would get a better reward both in this life and in the life to come. What Jesus Christ teaches is significant truth that can save us so much trouble in this passing world. There can be no life without death. There can be no crown without a cross. Unless we are willing to die to sin and crucify all that is most dear to the flesh and blood, we cannot expect any benefit from the death of Christ. Don't mind that wishy-washy form of Christianity which proclaims a crown without the cross. We must remember these deep things of the faith and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. No matter how difficult the task, let us take comfort from Jesus, who promises that it is by sowing to the Spirit that we reap eternal life. And we sow to the Spirit by spending time studying the Word of God and learning at the feet of Jesus. May we never forget that the Lord Jesus holds out abundant encouragement for those who follow him. "Where I am," he declares, "my servant also will be. Whoever serves me must follow me." Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the glorious victory Christ gained through his death, burial, and resurrection, breaking the power of Satan and sin in the lives of all who trust in Jesus, and banishing death and hell forever in the lives of all who believe in him. Father, we acknowledge that the victory is Christ's alone, but thanks be to God that by your great grace, you have given us that same wonderful victory through our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, although this glorious triumph was completed more than 2,000 years ago, nonetheless it is as potent and powerful in the lives of believers today as it was when the angels declared, "He is not here, he is risen." Keep us ever looking to Jesus, knowing that this glorious victory has not lost any of its ancient power, but is the single means of overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, for all believers who choose to abide in him and he in them. We pray that we will run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, and that we may finish the course that you have given to us as we yield through word and deed to the working of the Holy Spirit within. This is our prayer through Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.